कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीर वन चारी। यमुना तीर वन चारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। विष्णुपाद परम प्रजगाचार्य अशोक श्रीमदेसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परम प्रजगाचार्य श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर शील प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्रीमद भागवत की जय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर स्पीकिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद भागवतम कैंटो 4 Chapter 28, text 37, chapter entitled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। शीतोष्णो वात वर्षाणि शुत्पिपासे प्रिय प्रिये सुख दुःखे इति द्वन्द्वानि अजयत् समदर्शन। शीतोष्णवातवर्षाणि शुत्पिपासे प्रिया प्रिये सुख दुःखे इति द्वन्द्वानि अजयत् समदर्शन। शीतोष्णवातवर्षाणि शुत्पिपासे प्रिया प्रिये सुख दुःखे इति द्वन्द्वानि अजयत् समदर्शनः। शीतोष्णवातवर्षाणि शुत्पिपासे प्रिया प्रिये सुख दुःखे इति द्वन्द्वानि अजयत् समदर्शनः। शीतोष्णवातवर्षाणि शुत्पिपासे प्रिया प्रिये सुखदुःखे इति द्वन्द्वानि अजयत् समदर्शनः। माताजीस्, शीतोष्णवातवर्षाणि श्रुतपिपासे प्रिया प्रिये इति द्वन्द्वानि अजयत् समदर्शनः। शीतोष्णवातवर्षाणि श्रुत्पिपासे प्रिया प्रिये सुखदुःखे इति द्वन्द्वानि अजयत् समदर्शनः। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। शीत कोल्ड, उष्ण हीट, वात विंड, वर्षाणी एंड रेनी सीजन्स, शुत हंगर, पिपासे एंड थर्स्ट, प्रिया प्लेजेंट, अप्रिया एंड अनप्लेजेंट, सुख हैप्पीनेस, दुखे एंड डिस्ट्रेस इति दस द्वंद्वानी ड्युअलिटीज अजयत ही कॉन्कर्ड समदर्शन इक्विपोइज्ड। ट्रांसलेशन ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद। शील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय श्री राधा वृंदावन बिहारी भगवान की जय। श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की जय। थ्रू ऑस्टेरिटीज किंग मलय ध्वज इन बॉडी एंड माइंड ग्रेजुअली बिकेम इक्वल टू द ड्यूअलिटीज ऑफ कोल्ड एंड हीट, हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस, विंड एंड रेन, हंगर एंड थर्स्ट, द प्लेजेंट एंड द अनप्लेजेंट। इन दिस वे ही कॉन्कर्ड ऑल द रिलेटिविटीज। परपट लिबरेशन मीन्स बिकमिंग फ्री फ्रॉम द रिलेटिविटीज ऑफ द वर्ल्ड। Unless one is self-realized, he has to undergo the dual struggle of relative world. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Arjuna to conquer all relativities through tolerance.
Lord Krishna points out that it is the relativities like winter and summer that give us trouble in the material world. In the winter, we don't like taking a bath, but in summer, we wish to take bath twice, thrice, or more a day. Thus, Krishna advises us not to be disturbed by such relativities and dualities when they come and go. The common man has to undergo such austerity to become equipoised before dualities. One who becomes agitated to the relativities of life has accepted a relative position and must therefore undergo the austerities prescribed in the Shastras to transcend the material mode and put an end to material existence. King Malayadhwaj underwent severe austerities by leaving his home, going to Kulachal, taking his bath in sacred rivers and eating only vegetables like stems, roots, seeds, flowers and leaves, avoiding any cooked food or grains. These are very, very austere practices. In this age, it is very difficult to leave home and go to forest or the Himalayas to adopt the process of austerity. Indeed, it is almost impossible. If one is even advised to give up meat eating, drinking, gambling and illicit sex, one will fail to do so. What then would a person do if he went to Himalayas or Kulachala? Such acts of renunciation are not possible in this age. Therefore, Lord Krishna has advised us to accept the Bhakti Yoga process. Bhakti Yoga will automatically liberate a person from the dualities of life. In Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is the center and Krishna is always transcendental. Thus, in order to transcend dualities, one must always engage in the service of the Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mam choyo vyabhicharine bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samtit yetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. If one is factually engaged in the service of the Lord, bhakti yoga, he will automatically control his senses, his tongue and so many other things. Once engaged in Bhakti Yoga process, with all sincerity, one will have no chance of falling down. Even if one falls down, there is no loss. One's devotional activities may be stunned or choked for time being. But as soon as there is another chance, the practitioner begins from the point where he left off. Amagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasme shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri uta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namastute, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe Vrinda, Vaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa, Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu, Bhayavacha, Patita Nam, Pavne Bhyo, Vaishnave Bhyo, Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna So I would like to welcome devotees and guests this morning. Would like to speak some things given here by Srila Prabhupada for my own purification. It's a very tall order, and speaking
is easy, but practicing is a completely different aspect altogether. So at least reminding myself about different aspects of spiritual life and for my own purification, would like to speak on certain aspects which I could at least understand or grasp. So, just to give a, like, we'll be back and forth going through the past or the revision of this section, which we are presently. This kind of the purports given are quite philosophical, but just a brief overview. Again, in middle also we'll be touching on the storyline. So here there happened to be a king, Prachini Bharishat, who was very pious and was very expert in fruitative activities. And he also comes in lineage of Maharaj Dhruva. Dhruva, who is a great devotee of Lord and disciple of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is seeing that one of the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj is kind of diverting from the core spiritual practice, comes personally to guide him. In fact, his sons, Prachini Bharishad's sons, the king whom Narad Muni is guiding now, they also become very good devotees. In fact, they are personally guided by Lord Shiva, which we covered in the previous sections, in where Lord Shiva narrated them a prayer known as Rudra Geet, where they surrendered to the Lord, and they are meditating right now. Meanwhile, when Narad Muni is explaining to Prachini Bharishad. So, when they are performing austerities and meditating over the Lord, and that happens to be 10,000 years, meanwhile, Narad Muni goes to their father, which is this king, Prachini Bharishad, who is absorbed in Karma Kandya and other ritualistic activities, Vedic sacrifices only, but not very much directed to pure devotional service. So the king happened to be in such activity because he was absorbed in daily affairs of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, wherein one gets into fruitive activities. So he very expertly, as the previous speaker spoke, like very nicely, he tries to convince Prachini Bharishad about the aim of human life through an allegorical story. Now, although allegory story we may be thinking it's like imaginary, but just like we know the concept of universal form or Virata Roop, which is an imaginary concept, but just because it is connected to spirituality, connected to the Lord Himself, imagination is also real. It actually enacts in a very positive manner for the human life. So, similarly, this allegory may not be happening to some particular person, but it is happening in everyone's life. And here, Narad Muni takes example of this as a main character is Puranjana, which literally means the person who enjoys in a pura, in a place a person enjoys, and that's every living entity. And through this Puranjana character, Narad Muni is telling that it is you, Prachini Bharishad, who is the main character. And of course, for us, it is we. We need to understand that. And he gradually explains the allegory that how this person is moving from place to place in search of a comfortable home to lead a very pleasant, happy life, and happens to come across the south part of Himalayas, which is Bharatvarsha, indirectly. And so in this allegory, like, it's said that he's been roaming to different places for staying, but then end up getting at this particular farm, which is located towards the south of Himalayas, and this city is having nine gates. So through that, he means that we as a soul have been wandering through different life forms in 84 like species, and finally we get a human form. And this place has 9 gates. So similarly, human form, human body, it has all around 9 holes. So then he tells that how he comes across a very beautiful lady out there, who is having different servants. She is protected by, and indirectly, you know, it means that this lady is the material intelligence. So that is bhautik buddhi, you know, like it's explained here, which always a jiva helps jiva in his sense gratification. And he ends up marrying her. And also this material intelligence have different servants. She has 10 servants and one main commander-in-chief. So these 10 servants are explained as our 10 senses, 5 working senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, and the 11th is the mind. And she is also protected by a snake, 5-hooded snake. So in the allegory it is explained that this 5-hooded snake is nothing but our pranavayus, you know, like we as a soul are suspended in 5 kinds of life airs. At any given point of time, we may be located in this, we may be suspended in these 5 airs. And of course, there are other 5 airs also. These are supporting these airs. And these, and that is how Narad Muni very technically and very nicely going and explaining Prachini Barshad, who's a king, big king, and connecting spirituality to his day-to-day lifestyle. And then it's explained that these other 10, 11 servants also had many other wives, which are explained as there are different desires these senses have. So, and this way, step by step, he is going and explaining and actually getting in touch with Prachini Barishad. Before that, Prachini Barishad, no, he explains that whatever you are doing is okay, but no, you have been committing so many sacrifices, and which some are unsuccessful. And he shows him that others, animals which he has killed, have not met proper destination, then they will be waiting to attack him when he dies. And that's how he starts this story, and that's how we are proceeding ahead. And further, it's explained that how he enjoys with his wife, that is a jiva who is enjoying with his material intelligence. He is planning and relishing different things through different senses. He's explained that how he is enjoying his different 10 senses. And then it's explained that once he actually leaves his material intelligence, that his wife also, and goes for hunting. So that's a regular activity in a king's life or a ruler's or administrator's life. That is how Narad Muni is comparing. And then he comes back and he wants to be pacified, and he takes rest, and he again looks for his intelligence, that is his wife. So very nicely Narad Muni explains the different aspects of a king's lifestyle or any other jiva's lifestyle, how his day-to-day life is and how that is connected to spirituality. So gradually, it is said that actually he is completely under his material intelligence. Whatever his material intelligence is telling, he is doing without questioning. In fact, he is just aping her. And then finally, time comes when, in the process, like he has many children, you know, and he gets them married and has a very nice big family. But in the process, a lot of time is gone, and he is not able to see how time has gone, and now his body is also becoming weak. And it is explained in another character, like Chand Veg, you know, like old age, fear. These are also different characters, and they are approaching this king Puranjana. So similarly, like with time, we don't understand in youth how time is going. Only until we start getting diseased again and again, and our immunity goes down and we become old, we realize that we are being attacked, we are under control. So similarly then, Chandavegh attacks, Jara attacks, different characters which attack him, and he is worried about his family, he is worried about his wife, he is worried about his children. Although he is seeing so many problems, he is not concerned about his own personal existence. And in such a confused state, he leaves his body. So Narad Muni explains, like we can see, although it's speaking about a king, but it's relevant to everyone. So then he says that in next life, because in previous life he was very much attached to his family, his wife, he ends up becoming a woman. And then he takes birth in another king's place where he is married to another king. Now he is a woman. He is a woman and her name is Vaidarbhi. And then she is married to another king whose name is Malayadhwaj. So this king Malayadhwaj is having a very devotional disposition. He is a devotee. So it is explained that how when she is serving him throughout his life very nicely, she gets purified gradually. The soul or jiva is purified in his devotional existence, serving the spiritual master and others. Gradually, then this Malayadhwaj also had many children through Vaidarbhi, who is the jiva or Puranjana in this life. And then he also renounces his life in this life. And his wife, with Vaidarbhi, she also follows. And that is where we are coming to today's today's section, where now he is has taken vanprastha order and he is performing austerities to leave his body and attain perfection of life. So here, so Prabhupada very nicely explains. So, he is performing austerities. So, as the translation goes, through austerity, King Malayadhwaj, in body and mind, gradually became equal to the dualities of cold and heat, happiness and distress, wind and rain, hunger and thirst, pleasant and unpleasant. In this way, he conquered all relativities. So, in the purport, Prabhupada explains that this is a very important theme. And in Bhagavad Gita talks about it in a very extensively. In fact, from chapter 2 itself, Bhagavad Gita starts talking about. So, just like the famous verse goes, Dehino smin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara tatha dehantar prapti dhiras tatra muhyati. How one should remain unbewildered. Because just as an embodied soul is continuously passing from one form of life to another, just like a boyhood to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death, and a sober person is not bewildered by it. So this theme of being equipoised in extreme conditions, both happiness and distress, is well spoken, and Prabhupada is talking about in the purport. Another was Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada indicated in the purport is Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukha Dukkha. Similarly, today is also Shitoshna Vata Varshani, same words. Agama Payino Anitya Stam Siddhikshasva Bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance is due to in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of different seasons, winter and summer. They arise from sense perception and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Yaha yam hi vyavathayanti ete purusham purusharishabha sama dukkha sukha dhiram so amritatvaya kalpate. O best of among men, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So this is one of the important verses. In second chapter itself of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling. Also in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12th. Now, Krishna talks in great detail of being equipoised, and a person who is equipoised is so much dear to him. So we'll just see what Krishna is talking here again. Just adveshta sarvabhutana, not envious towards anyone, including the envious. Maitre, friendly to all. Karuna evacha, kind and merciful to all. Nirmamo nirahankara, free from sense of proprietorship, free from false ego or identification with body. Sama dukkha sukha shami, equal in happiness and distress, forgiving and tolerant. Santushta satatam yogi, satisfied always in devotional service. Yatatam dhrida nishchaya, self-controlled, determined. Mayarpata mano buddhir, mind and intelligence fixed on me. Yo mad bhakta same priya, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So Krishna is explaining in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita how anyone with these qualities, you know, just as in this today's purport it's explained, he needs to be equipoised and he is very dear to Krishna. And from chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita 13 to 20, Krishna has just given the list of qualities of such a devotee. Yasmin no dvijate loko, no one is agitated by him. Loka no dvijate cha yah, he is not agitated by anyone. Harsha marsha bhayo dvi udveger mukto yah sacha me priya, equipoised in joy and distress, fear and anxiety, such a devotee is very dear to me. Anipeksha, neutral, devoid of all expectation from his work. Shuchir, pure and clean. Daksha, expert, skillful in all situations. Udasino, without cares and attached to material persons. Gata vyatha, free from all pains, as he is free from all designations. Sarvarambha parityagi, free from all material endeavors. Yo mad bhaktya same priya, such a devotee is very dear to me. So here Krishna is enlisting these qualities and actually putting the ball in our court. So we have to take responsibility for the extreme situations in our life and focus on Krishna. Further, he says, Yevna arishati na dveshti, neither rejoices nor grieves. Na shochati na kangshati, neither laments nor desires. Shubha shubha parityagi, renounces all auspicious and inauspicious thing. Bhakti man yah same priya, and such a devotee is very dear to me. Normally in spiritual aspects, spiritual circles, devotees and many outside also, people consider to accumulate piety is important, and that is nice. But if we go deeper in spirituality, we understand that actually everything needs to be dovetailed. It's not one should focus only on collecting punya, but also not only endeavor for the pleasure of the Lord. Further, Krishna goes, sama shatrocha mitrecha, equal to friends and enemies. Tatha manapa manayo shitoshna sukha dukheshu, equipoised in all dualities, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress. So here again and again these are kind of reiterated. Now in the second chapter Krishna told, in the 12th chapter he is telling, in Bhagavatam also it is spoken, in CC also it is spoken. Now equipoised in dualities, honor and dishonor. No, na famous Shikshashtakam, it goes like Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Api Saishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So these qualities are so much dear for Krishna, dear to Krishna, and he is wanting his devotee to imbibe them, and that is how he can please him. Sama Sangha Vivarjita, always free from contaminating association. Contaminating association may be external, outside or internal from the contaminated mind. So it's very important to be always focused in our own spiritual nourishment. by sharpening our intelligence, by regularly reading shastras and overcoming the obstacles which mind brings from time to time as different doubts. Tulya ninda stutir moni, equal in criticism and praise. Silent, that is, speaks only essential topics. So equal in criticism and praise, now it's like bringing the quality of being tolerant. Santushto yena kena chit, satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. Aniketaha, doesn't care for any dissidence. Sthira matir, steady in mind and fixed in knowledge. Bhakti man me priya nara, such a devotee is very dear to me. Yetu dharma amritam idam yathoktam paryupasate. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and completely engaged, shraddha dhan me mat param, with faith, making me the supreme goal. Bhaktaste tiva me priya. Such devotees are very, very dear to me. Thus, no, whole section, no, like Krishna has dedicated it for how important is for one to be equipoised, tolerant and forgiving, and that pleases him a lot. Now, this is a part of today's purport, as we are seeing, and that's how I'm referring Bhagavad Gita for that. Also, to this, we see now, like contrary examples to be get a full picture. Now, when a devotee should not be tolerant, now it's explained. Now, when we see Krishna being blasphemed, when we see devotees being blasphemed, so as the Daksha episode explains that how Mother Sati explains that either one should refute him, defeat him, either he should kill him, or if he is not there, then leave the place or cut his own tongue. So these are like quiet things, but within devotional circles, we need not be like always kind of the way, we need to be sufficiently mature where to be, you know, like be sensitive and tolerant, and other places we have to defend as well. So in CC example comes of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that how when at his place one of a very close associate of Lord Nityanand comes, Meen Ketan Ramdas, and he is not honored properly by his brother, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother, and it is seen that time that he actually goes ahead and corrects and doesn't tolerate the situation like that. He corrects him. And there is a difference of opinion, and of course, ultimately, Lord Nityananda is very pleased by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and that's how he directs him to renounce and go to Vrindavan. And also, we see like where this so much kind of insult was happening in Daksha episode, where Lord Shiva, no, his Vaishnava Nam Yata Shambhu, is disrespected. So Lord Vishnu himself didn't come there to even take the offerings. It was only other demigods who had come. So towards the end of this purport, Prabhupada is explaining that even if one falls down, there is no... Once devotional activities may be stunned or choked for some time, but as soon as there is another chance, the practitioner begins from the point where he left off. So that is how important is devotional service. And this is very nicely covered when Narad Muni is guiding Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva also was trying to present scriptures or spiritual knowledge in a very mature way to the people in general. But he is... Now, it's not so easy the way Narad Muni has been doing. Vyasadeva also tried, but he was disappointed in his endeavor. And now, to make spiritual knowledge palatable for everyone is not so easy. And he was himself disappointed. And that is when Narad Muni again came and corrected his disciple Vyasadeva. And that is... when he emphasized how important it is to repeatedly glorify devotional service and Lord and his devotees, and how important it is to take to devotional service. And he quotes a very famous verse, which goes like this. Tvaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan apakva tapate tato yadi yatra kva bhadram abud amushyakim kovartha apto bhajatam swadharmata. And translation is, one who has given his material occupation to engage in devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So this is very interesting, that how it is explained that even if one takes to devotional service and by mistake falls, there is no loss in it. So, and Prabhupada explains that, you know, in this purport, that how everyone is bound to innumerable duties. If one relinquishes his duties and surrender unto Supreme Lord and becomes successful in discharge of devotional service to Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is well and good. Sometimes one surrenders by some temporary sentiments, and in long run, due to many reasons, he falls from path of service by undesirable association. He is pointing out like how someone may out of emotional take to spiritual life and later have difficulties. Just he gives the example of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj is a very elevated devotee, but Prabhupada gives an example of how he had this kind of incident. Like he took birth of deer due to attachment of deer when he died. And another example of Chitraketu Maharaj also being misunderstood. So it's, you know, very interesting. If we see in a bigger picture, although these devotees had taken to devotional service, they had difficulties, they took another birth in another life forms, but in long run they were protected by the Supreme Lord. So in spite of all this, stress is given here to surrendering to the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if there is a chance of falling down from prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget lotus feet of the Lord. And that's where he points out that even if small quantity of devotional service can save one from the dangerous position, that's, he quotes example of Achamil, how Achamil in his previous beginning life was a devotee, but in youth he got diverted, but still he was protected by Lord through his devotees. And in this it comes emphasize, you know, like, you know, we are just talking about how important is spiritual life, and in purport Prabhupada mentions about how even if one fails in spiritual life, it is not a loss, and even although one may be very sincerely involved in his mundane prescribed duties, there is no gain. And then Prabhupada is giving example that even a small endeavor in this makes a great great impact in one's personal life. And that's where the purport of Bhagavad Gita comes. Neha abhi bikrama nashosti pratyavayuna vidyate swalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayad. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from most dangerous type of fear. So in this purport Prabhupada explains that activity in Krishna consciousness or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification is the highest transcendental quality of work. Any work begun on material plane has to be completed, otherwise whole attempt is a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect even though not finished. In Krishna consciousness 1% has permanent results, so next beginning is from 2%. Whereas material activity without 100% success, there is no profit. Just to give an example of this, you know, we know this one of the famous hospital in this Mumbai city, you know, Reliance Hospital. So I heard like how this Reliance Hospital actually was being built by another big doctor, and he had taken many loans. Being in his profession and also starting a business and also at a very large scale, he was not able to manage, and he actually went into stress. He was smoking a lot, although he's a doctor and he knows everything. And gradually he in anxiety and depression, he left his body, and it's later Reliance, now these corporate people took over this hospital. So my point here was that although he had taken an endeavor, he had begun it, but he couldn't get the result because he couldn't complete and he couldn't do. It's only the other people who took over, and now it's at their credit. So material activities and their results end up with body, but work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness even after loss of body. At least, you know, Prabhupada mentions that at least one is sure to have a chance in next life of being born again as human being, either in a family of cultured Brahmana or rich aristocrat. That will give one further chance of elevation. And Prabhupada explains about himself and how his spiritual master happened to be sharing this fortune. And no, it goes on to explain that how important it is to have spirituality as the main goal of life. And the next verse, in this line only, when Narad Muni is explaining it to Vyasadeva, he quotes this verse. Tasyeva heto prayate tako vido na labhyate yad bhramatam upariyada तल्लभ्यते दुःख वदन्यता सुखम काले न सर्वत्र गभीर रमसा. The translation goes, persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for the purposeful end, which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, that is Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, that is Patala. And as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. So it's a very practical thing Narad Muni is telling, and same is repeated by other devotees also. Like Prahlad Maharaj also talks in same line that why are you worrying for working so hard for happiness? Happiness will come on its own accord, just as miseries are also coming. And of course, here Narad Muni is explaining that one should seek for the highest goal. Interestingly, you know, like here Narad Muni is telling that from topmost planet, that is Brahma, to lowest, that is Patala. Patala is literally hellish planet where people are punished. These goal of seeking for going to back to Godhead is not there. You will not find this. You will not be satisfied that way. And that is how he's promising out here. And you know, I just came across, you know, recently we were having discussion of Kapil Dev's section also. He points a very unthinkable point, which I never thought of. Like, he says, even in hellish planets, Jiva feels happiness and becomes attached to his situation there. Now, it's very interesting. Like, we always hear that Jiva is getting suffered, punished out there. But he is telling that in that hellish condition also, he is becoming attached in that position. So it was very, you know, like mind-boggling. And of course, he is not allowed to continue in that position because he is immediately taken off. His condition is again changing. So there, even in misery, there is no stability. It comes back to again, no, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this material world is dukhalaya ashashvatam. And of course, in this purport, Prabhupada points out that we may be like engaged in happiness for in this life, like seeking economic advancement, trade, industry, position, etc. And this is not new. Currently, what people are engaged in economic development and politics and others, this is not new. But this is, in fact, more ignorant. We had these kind of cases in previous Vedic, when Varnashrama was quite prominent. That time also we had philosophers like Charvak. Now, Charvak also told, beg, borrow, or steal, but eat ghee. No, that was like more making sense. No, like put something, give something nourishing to your body. Today, people don't know that how ghee is so very important for their health. So that's the height of ignorance. But this is also not for other people. No, like one may be trying to advance in present life, but also another category of people are who are involved in fruitive activities, which we don't see much, but still people have that kind of desires, which is given concession in Srimad Bhagavatam through different rituals. And these people are mainly called like fruitive workers, who want to, after death, go to higher planetary systems and enjoy there. So, Prabhupada points out that miseries and mixed happiness, that is what is given by the material world, miseries, and there is no pure happiness. Happiness is said as mixed happiness. Of all beings are only of different degrees and quality, but no one is free from the actual miseries, that is birth, old age, disease, and death. So one must try to consider these four things as their actual problem, rather than, you know, like others. Things which are coming and which are anyways miseries and not pure happiness, it's mixed happiness, and they are just varying in different degrees and quality. And that's how it's encouraged here, like how it is important for us to understand that spirituality is very important. Krishna is the center of our life. Also the verses ahead, like I'll just go through this section. Now it's talking about, now as in the beginning I mentioned about King Malayadhwaja and his wife Vaidarbhi, who has been Puranjana in a previous life. Now how they are currently going austerities, and this section is just talking about how he overcame dualities of his life by overcoming the relativities. Then it further explains that by worshipping, executing austerities and following the regulative principles, King Malayadhwaja conquered his senses, his life and his consciousness. Thus he fixed everything on the central point of the Supreme Brahman Krishna. In this way he stayed immovable in one place for 100 years by the calculation of demigods. After this time he developed pure devotional attraction for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and remained fixed in that position. King Malayadhwaja attained perfection of knowledge by being able to distinguish the super soul and the individual soul. The individual soul is localized where the super soul is all pervasive. He became perfect in knowledge that the material world is not the soul, but that the soul is witness of the material body. I'll repeat again. He became perfect in knowledge that the material body is not the soul. Material body is not the soul, that the soul is the witness of the material body. And that's again a very running theme of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada explains different, you know, like Yantra Rudani Maya 18.61 and these aspects. So, hearing, we may, you know, as common saying goes, easy said than done. So it's very easy to speak, but to execute and have conviction and apply it in our personal life is another thing altogether. But to begin, hearing is very important. By hearing again and again, we purify our intelligence, we sharpen our intelligence, we purify our heart and our anarthas. So that's so very important. And as, you know, we should be like, you know, tomorrow we are celebrating Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, who has made impact in our life, personal life, and everyone. And he has, just like, you know, so many scholars and people appreciated him, that just like the miracle he did in 10 years is like, literally miracle. No one could do that again. And One of the main moods Srila Prabhupada had, no, like one Mr. Malhotra, one of the big industrialists, asked him, like very practical, these people, no, business people, quite practical. He explained that you are making so many temples and places of worship and others. So it's not so practical, no? You should be rather giving food, shelter, clothing to poor. So Prabhupada very nicely explained to him, if someone has lost his home and is wandering on the street, no matter how much, someone, some child or some elder also, he is not in a proper mental situation, he is disturbed, not able to discriminate. So even if you give all this food, health, shelter, which are the external needs which we see currently, and we don't give them spiritual knowledge, and spiritual knowledge here is that connecting that person back to the Lord, connecting that person back to the home from where he is giving, then it will be a very temporary solution. We cannot make him happy for a lifetime. So making these temples, places of worship, different dhams, are just like connecting them to Krishna, no? Giving them the knowledge of spirituality and nourishing them. Another aspect what I observed of Prabhupada was like his emphasis on protection of the five sections of the society, which current day administrations doesn't care about. That's very well known that he emphasized on protection of brahmanas, now old people, children, cows, women, and distressed people. So that's so very important. We see all how physically these people are weak and how they can be easily exploited. No, even cows we are talking about, but in other also there's no kind of mercy factor for others. So everyone could see the success Prabhupada met, and how he, within a short time of 10-11 years, made 108 temples, wrote so many books, and even those who were close, no, they realized later that how difficult it is for one to even make one temple and maintain it. It's not so easy thing. And this all empowerment, of course, Prabhupada had done so much austerities and worship and his dedication to the Lord. And before that, he had failed so much. No, he was trying from day one when he came in touch with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had tried to help in a lot manner, in a large scale, but he was failing again and again. So his failures and his that developed, no, to say that helped to say like so-called failures which helped in more patience and hard work, gradually we see that culminated into big thing. And of course, Shastras explained that how these were Lord Prabhupada is not any another normal person. And we also see, although he is at such a great stature, but he was very detached. No, he, in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes that even if 1% becomes favorable, no, devotee, by reading my book, I will be satisfied. So it's a very big thing, you know, just writing small, although his aim is this, but his aspiration is only even a 1%. And he's very humble also. No, in episode of Dhruv Maharaj going back to Godhead, he explains that I will be also, you know, grateful if one of my disciples goes back to Godhead, and due to him, I am also remembered by that, and I will be also getting place in about. So it's a very, you know, just like Dhruv Maharaj remembered his mother, and he saw that she was also following him to the spiritual world. So these are like very, there are unlimited qualities which devotees can bring up of Srila Prabhupada, and these few came to my mind. And of course, how he always kept Krishna consciousness as the center and presented very practically, like Narad Muni is presenting here to Prachini Varshad, remaining very much relevant to the people of his time. And of course, not diluting or negotiating with it himself. So I just went over time. I would like to close with this. Thank you so much for tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.